in order to convey to mankind such knowledge, which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion, and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I'm Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "The mystery of Lucifer. A gray veil shrouds all that appertains to the figure of Lucifer, and it is as though everybody shrinks from lifting a corner of it. In truth, this shrinking back is nothing but man's inability to penetrate into the realm of darkness. Again, this inability simply lies in the order of things, for here, as elsewhere, a limit is set upon the human spirit, owing to its nature, which prevents it from penetrating so far. Just as it is unable to reach the highest heights, so also is it unable to penetrate to the deepest depths, nor will it ever be able to do so. Thus, the imagination created substitutes for what was missing. It created a diversity of beings. People speak of the devil in the most adventurous forms, of the fallen and expelled archangel, of the embodiment of the evil principle, and all the rest of it. Nothing is understood of Lucifer's true being, although the human spirit is often struck by him and consequently thrown into a state of great inner conflict, which can be likened to a battle. Those who speak of a fallen archangel, as also those who speak of the embodiment of the evil principle, come closest to the truth. But here also, a false attitude prevails, giving a false picture of everything. An embodiment of the evil principle makes one think of the summit, of the final goal, of all evil having been invested with life and body, thus the crowning, the complete culmination. On the contrary, however, Lucifer is the origin, the starting point, and the driving power of the wrong principle. One should really not call the principle it brings forth the evil principle, but the wrong principle. The field of action of this wrong principle is the world of matter. It is only here that the effect of the light and the effect of darkness, the two opposing principles, meet with one another and constantly influence the human soul while it is developing on its journey through the world of matter. Whichever of the two the human soul favors, in accordance with its own wishes, proves decisive for its ascent towards the light or its descent towards darkness. The gulf which lies between light and darkness is immense. It is filled by that part of creation called the world of matter, which is subject to the transient nature of the forms, that is, to the disintegration of the forms existing at the time and to a subsequent reconstruction. Since, according to the laws which the will of God the Father has placed in creation, a cycle can only be considered completed and fulfilled when it ends up by returning to its origin, so also the cycle of human spirit can only be considered fulfilled when it returns to the spiritual realm, because that is where its seed grain originated. If a human spirit permits itself to deviate towards darkness, it runs the risk of being drawn beyond the outermost circle of its normal course towards a depth from which it can then no longer find its way back in order to ascend. Nor can it step even deeper over the extreme boundary of densest and deepest ethereal darkness, and thus completely out of the world of matter, as it could do in the upward direction into the realm of spiritual substantiality, because the latter is its point of origin. And so it is constantly drawn along in the mighty cycle of material creation until it is finally drawn into disintegration, because its ethereally dark and therefore dense and heavy garment, which is also called the ethereal body, holds it down. This disintegration then dissolves the spiritual personality it has acquired on its course through creation, so that it suffers spiritual death and is dispersed to primordial spiritual seed. Lucifer himself stands outside material creation and will therefore not be drawn into the disintegration, which is the fate of the victims of his principle, because Lucifer is eternal. His origin lies in a part of divine substantiality. The dissension started after the creation of all matter had begun. Sent out to support spiritual substantiality and further its development in the world of matter, he failed to carry out his mission in accordance with the creative will of God the Father, but through a volition which came to him while working in matter, he chose ways other than those ordained by this creative will. Misusing the power delegated to him, he introduced, among other things, the principle of temptation in place of the principle of supporting love, which is identical with serving love. Serving love in the divine sense, which has nothing in common with slavish servility, but has only the spiritual ascent and thereby the eternal happiness of his fellow man at heart, and acts accordingly. The principle of temptation, however, is identical with the setting of snares, which cause creatures who are not sufficiently strong within themselves quickly to stumble, fall, and become lost, whereas others, it is true, grow stronger and more alert so as to blossom forth powerfully towards spiritual heights. But all that is weak is irrevocably abandoned to destruction from the start. This principle knows of no goodness, no compassion. it is wanting in the love of God the Father, and therewith also in the mightiest power to ascend, and in the strongest support available. The temptation in paradise, described in the Bible, shows the effect produced by the application of the Lucifer principle. It depicts how, through temptation, it tries to test the strength or steadfastness of the human couple, only to thrust them pitilessly on the road to destruction at the least sign of wavering. Steadfastness would have been identical with a joyful adjustment to the will of God, which lies in the simple laws of nature or laws of creation. And this will, the divine command, was well known to the human couple. Not to hesitate would have been the same as obeying these laws. Only through such obedience can man make proper and unlimited use of them, and thus become truly a lord in creation, because he is in harmony with them. If he does not put himself into opposition, all the powers will serve him and work automatically in his favor. This then holds the fulfillment of the Creator's commandments, which have but one aim, to preserve and maintain undimmed and unhampered all the possibilities of development that lie in his wonderful work. The simple observance of this means in turn consciously to cooperate in the further sound development of creation or of the world of matter. He who fails in this is an obstacle which must either be hewn into the right shape or left to be crushed in the wheels of the world's mechanism, that is, in the laws of creation. He who will not bend must break, as there can be no stagnation. Lucifer refuses to wait with kindness for man gradually to mature and become strong. He refuses to be the loving gardener that he should be, caring for, supporting, and tending the plants entrusted to him. With him, the wolf literally came to mind the sheep. His goal is the destruction of all that is weak, and he works relentlessly towards that end. At the same time, he despises the victims who succumb to his temptations and snares, and it is his wish that they should be destroyed in their weakness. He is also contemptuous of the baseness and meanness which these fallen victims show in the working out of his principle. For it is only men who turn it into the loathsome villainy which is so evident. Through this, they only incense Lucifer the more to regard them as creatures who deserve nothing but destruction, not love and care. To achieve this destruction, not a little is contributed by the principle of letting oneself go, which follows as a natural consequence of the principle of temptation. This letting oneself go takes place in the lower regions of darkness, but through so-called psychoanalysis, some practitioners have already accepted it on the assumption that here on earth also, letting oneself go liberates and matures. But what dreadful misery must the practice of this principle cause here on earth? What mischief must it bring, since, in contrast with the regions of darkness, where only homogeneous species are together, on earth, both darker and lighter souls dwell side by side. In this respect, you need only to think of sexual life and similar things. If such a principle was put into practice and let loose on mankind, it must ultimately create nothing but a Sodom and Gomorrah, from which there would be no escape, and only the most abject terror could bring it to an end. Quite apart from this, however, one already sees numerous victims of similar therapies wandering about today without any hold on life, whose little bit of self-reliance and, on the whole, all their individual thinking have been completely picked to pieces and destroyed when they had confidently expected help. They are like people whose clothing has been systematically torn from their bodies, so that they are then forced to put on the new garments handed to them. However, in most cases, these denuded ones, unfortunately, can no longer see why they should put on any new clothing at all. Through the systematic intrusion into their most intimate affairs and rights, they have gradually lost the sense of shame, which is an integral part of personal self-respect, a part of the personality, and without which there can be nothing individual. On such uprooted soil, no new solid building can then be erected. With few exceptions, these people remain dependent and sometimes actually become helpless because the small hold they formerly possessed has been taken from them. Both the principles of letting oneself go and of temptation are so closely connected that temptation must without doubt precede letting oneself go. The latter is thus a direct following and spreading of the Lucifer principle. The true physician of the soul does not need to tear down. He recognizes the slumbering good qualities, awakens them, and then builds upon them. The true principle brings about a transformation of wrong desires through spiritual recognition. The application of his loveless principle, however, quite naturally separated Lucifer more and more from the loving will of the Almighty Creator, causing him to be cut off and cast out from the light. Consequently, he fell ever deeper. Lucifer is one who has severed himself from the light, which is equivalent to having been cast out. This expulsion was also bound to occur according to the existing primordial laws, the irrevocable holy will of God the Father. It could not possibly happen otherwise. Since only the will of God the Father, of the Creator of all things, is omnipotent and is also firmly anchored in the material world and its development, Lucifer can quite well send his principle into the material world, but the resulting effects will always and only operate within the primordial laws ordained by God the Father and must form themselves accordingly. Thus, in pursuit of his erroneous principle, Lucifer can incite men to set out on a road dangerous to them, but he is unable in any way to force men into something unless they themselves decide upon it voluntarily. In reality, Lucifer can only lure, but man as such stands more firmly in material creation than he does. Therefore, with much greater security and power than any influence Lucifer could ever wield over him. Thus, every man is so well protected that it is a tenfold shame upon him if he permits himself to be enticed by this power, which is a relatively weaker power than his. He should remember that Lucifer himself stands outside the material sphere, while he himself is firmly rooted in familiar soil. In order to apply his principle, Lucifer is forced to make use of his auxiliary troops, composed of human spirits, who have succumbed to his temptations. The spirit of every man striving upwards is not only fully able to deal with them, but is far superior in strength. One single serious volition suffices to make an army of them vanish without trace, providing their enticement meet with no response or approval to which they can cling. Lucifer would indeed be quite powerless if mankind would make the effort to recognize and follow the primordial laws given by the Creator. Unfortunately, however, men increasingly support the wrong principle through their present behavior, and the greater part of them will therefore have to perish. It is impossible for any human spirit to fight a battle against Lucifer himself, for the simple reason that, owing to their different fundamental natures, it cannot penetrate to him. The human spirit can come in contact only with those who are falling through the wrong principle, because they are basically of the same fundamental nature. The origin of Lucifer requires that only he who is of the same or of a higher origin can personally approach and face him, for none other can penetrate to him. It must be a divine envoy, armed with the sacred seriousness of his mission and with perfect trust in the source of all power, in God the Father himself. This task has been delegated to the prophesied Son of Man. The combat will be a personal one, face to face, not only a general symbolical one, as many investigators want to interpret from the prophecies. It is the fulfillment of the promise given in Parsifal. Lucifer has wrongly used the holy spear, the power, and through its principle inflicted a painful wound with it upon humanity, and thus upon spiritual substantiality. The spear will be wrested from him in this combat. Then, in the proper hands, that is, by applying the true grail principle of pure severe love, it will heal the wound previously inflicted by it while in the wrong hand, that is, through its wrong use. Through the Lucifer principle, that is, through the wrong application of divine power, which is the same as the holy spear being wielded in the wrong hand, a wound that cannot heal has been inflicted upon spiritual substantiality. In the legend, this thought is portrayed in striking manner, for the happening thus resembles an open wound that will not heal. It should be realized that human spirits, as unconscious spirit seed grains or sparks, leap or flow over the boundary of the lowest region of spiritual substantiality into material creation. The expectation is that these outflowing particles, having been awakened and developed to personal consciousness during their wanderings through the world of matter, will return thereafter to spiritual substantiality in order to complete their cycles. This is similar to the circulation of the blood in the physical body. The Lucifer principle, however, diverts a large portion of this circulating spiritual stream. Thus, the necessary cycle cannot be closed, the result being a weakening as from the continual draining of an open wound. When now the Holy Spear, that is, the divine power, is wielded in the proper hand, acting according to the will of the Creator and showing the right way to spiritual substantiality, wandering as an animating factor through matter, thereby leading it upwards to its point of origin, to the luminous kingdom of God the Father. The spiritual substance will no longer become lost, but will flow back to its origin, as the blood does to the heart. As a result, the exuding wound, which until then has had a weakening effect within spiritual substantiality, will be closed. Thus, the healing can take place only through the same spear as inflicted the wound. To achieve this, however, the spear must first be wrested from Lucifer and come into the proper hand, and this takes place in the personal combat between Parsifal and Lucifer. The further battles, which extend into the ethereal and gross material worlds, are but the after effects of this one great combat, which must bring about the promised binding of Lucifer and announces the beginning of the thousand-year kingdom. They mean the extermination of the consequences of the Lucifer principle. This principle is opposed to the reign of divine love, the blessings of which fall to man's share on his journey through the world of matter. If men would simply strive after this divine love, they would immediately become completely invulnerable to every temptation of Lucifer, and he would be robbed of all the terror the human spirit has woven around him. The monstrous and hideous forms which man erroneously tries to give to Lucifer are but the confused fantasies of the human brain. In truth, for the simple reason that there is a difference in natures, no human eye was ever able to behold him, not even the eye which already, during life on earth, is often able to recognize the ethereal world of the beyond. Contrary to all ideas, Lucifer may be called proud and stately, of a supernatural beauty and sombre majesty, with large, clear blue eyes, which, however, in their ice-cold expression, bear witness to a lack of love. He is not only a conception, as is generally represented when all other interpretations fail, but he is personal. Mankind should learn to understand that for them too, on account of their particular species, a limit is set which they can never cross, naturally, not even in their thoughts, and that messages can come to them from beyond this limit only as an act of grace. This cannot happen through mediums, who are unable to change their species even under supernatural conditions, and just as little through science. Indeed, it is just science which, by means of chemistry, has the opportunity to discover that the difference of species can create insurmountable barriers. These laws, however, proceed from the highest source and are not merely to be found in a work of creation. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a walk in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grailand, Eju Hills, Lagos, Grail centers, and Grail information centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to a public lecture based on the Grail message. Date: Sunday, 13th of December, 2015. Venue: Sun City College, No. 1, Sele Bus Stop, Magboro, in Lagos. Topic: The Grace That Comes with Christmas. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298. Or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. For your text messages, 003-315-7493. We have some text messages here. Please explain the parable of the 10 virgins in terms of the Grail message. Yes, there are 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The foolish virgins did not have sufficient oil. But not that they did not have oil in their lamps, they have oil in their lamps. That means they had knowledge of the truth. But they did not have extra oil. That means they lacked the extra knowledge that will enable them to recognize the bridegroom at the right time. And so, when they went to look for the extra oil, by the time they came back, it was too late. So what it means is that it is only he who comes to the recognition of that extra knowledge that can come to the recognition of the bridegroom, the Spirit of Truth, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, promised to send. And it is only he who comes to the recognition of the truth in the Grail message that will come that or part of those who are called the wise virgins, because they will have sufficient knowledge to come to the recognition of the Son of Man. All right, we have a caller here. Isiaka is calling from Ojota.
Hello?
Hello, Isiaka, you are on.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. My name is Chief Isiaka. I'm calling from Ojota.
Okay.
My question is, this Christmas, I just hear you telling us that there is a public measure about Christmas. Now, that was taking me to the question I have. That, what is there any significance, is there any reference in the book that we should celebrate Christmas? If yes, please, I have to read it. Thank you.
All right, now, Christmas represents the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a period when the love of the Almighty was extended and a hand of love was extended by the Almighty Creator to humanity who are sinning in darkness. And this love, divine love, extended to mankind is a creation event. And so, it is also a time to reflect on this love that is sent to mankind through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the majority of mankind do not even know the real reason why Jesus Christ came.
Hello?
Many thought that he came to take away their sins. Hello, Shadrach is calling from Sapele. Hello, Shadrach. Hello? Shadrach, you are on.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, go on, please. Go on with your question.
Yes, I just want to know more about the green message because I really love the program. For me to understand more about it so that I will be listening to it more better.
Well, you may also get a copy of the Great Message and read it. The Great Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth. It is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. And this Great Message is like a map of the entire creation. And it explains the laws of our God in creation. It explains who our Lord Jesus Christ is, his true mission, how to recognize the promised Son of Man. All of it is in a Great Message. However, it is only those who are genuinely seeking that will understand it. And in Sapele, you can get copies of the Great Message at at number 6, Okobia Street. Off Apeki Crescent in Sapele in Delta State. Number 6, Okobia Street. Off Apeki Crescent, Sapele. That's where you can get copies of the Great Message. Right, now let's take another text message. Why is the English in the Great Message so hard? And is it right to bow down to worship at the altar? Now, the English is not hard. The language of the Great Message is a living language, and therefore it is only a human spirit that is alive, that is living, that can also absorb it and understand it. It is written in such a way that it excludes from the very beginning all those who are superficial, all those who have impure motives will not be able to see anything in it. The prejudiced and the malevolent will not be able to penetrate into it. So it is a living work. But if you find it difficult, you can also join a reading circle in the nearest Grace Center. And that is where people come together to jointly read the Great Message, and they are led by somebody who has already read the Great Message. Now, concerning bowing down before the altar, you see, the only one that we should worship is our Creator. But if the bowing down in before the altar, the one who is doing it considers the items on the altar as divine, out of which he can receive divine blessing, then that is pure idol worship. It is no different from the one who kneels down before a wooden image and worships it. Okay, another text message here. It is said that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Is this statement meant for those that are married? No, this statement is not meant for those that are married. The statement is meant for those that have complied with what God has joined together. And what the Almighty has joined together refers to those human beings, this couple, that have complementary qualities, whose souls so complement each other that it results in harmony. It is only those that are concerned here that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. In 80 out of 100 marriages contracted today, they do not fit this bill because they do not obey what God has joined together, which is simply human souls with complementary qualities that give rise to harmony. Another text message here. Now, what is the difference between miracles and magic? Why do hardworking people still remain poor? Now, miracles are not arbitrary actions. They are acts that they are things that work in accordance with the laws of the Almighty Creator. That is what miracles are. Whereas magic is only dark forces that are used to create illusions. So that's that. All right, we have a caller here. Michael is calling from Egon. Hello, Michael. Hello. All right. You are on. Yeah, you are on. You are on, Michael. Go on with your question. All right. So miracles are not arbitrary actions. They are actions that accord strictly with the laws of our Almighty Creator. And it is only the only difference between miracles and normal actions is that due to divine activity, the operations of the laws are speeded up. And so the events occur at a very rapid rate. If you are to take a slow motion picture of the miracle, you will see the step-by-step development. Whereas magic is nothing more than the use of dark forces to create illusions. Now, you are talking about another question. Why do hardworking people still remain poor? Poverty can result from indolence. It can also result from reciprocal action. That is, somebody who maybe in his previous art life was given wealth to manage for other people and for himself, but squandered it, then he must experience what poverty is. So it is not only indolence that brings about poverty. Okay. Another question here. What does the blood of Jesus signify? The blood of Jesus does not signify that Jesus Christ has taken away your sin. Otherwise, Jesus will not say, whatsoever a man sweat, that shall he reap. Unfortunately, many people, the vast majority of so-called Christians, believe otherwise, that the death of Jesus on the cross has taken away their sin. This is a delusion. And anyone holding such a thought can never find his way to paradise because it is contrary to the laws of our Creator. What you sow is what you reap. Indeed, Jesus Christ was murdered by mankind because he told humanity the truth. Hannes is calling from Nasarawa. Hello, Hannes.
Yes,
you are on. Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can hear. Go on, please.
Okay, I want to ask, why is the whole thing of God creating man? And why is it there's no offering of prayer before the reading of Genesis or after the reading of Genesis? Or is there any, you know, any accolade that man gives to God as per being the Creator?
All right, you are asking the meaning, the reason why the Almighty created man. Now, through the knowledge given to mankind in the great message, we now know the reason why. It's because man asked for it. At that time, man was in unconscious spiritual element, but he had the urge to become conscious and enjoy the happiness in that environment. It was this that the Almighty acceded to and allowed a place to be created so that man can become developed. And after being given that opportunity to develop and come to consciousness, unfortunately, man has used that time in wickedness. And to your second question, why prayers are not said before the reading of the great message, how will you know? I don't need to call you to pray when I pray. And before I read the great message, I always offer a short prayer with myself. So prayer is something that is personal. It is not something just open your mouth and say, let us pray. If prayer is not felt deeply through and through within your heart, it is better for one to refrain from praying. When you read the great message, you now understand what prayer really is and how we should pray. All right? Another question. Does God answer all prayers? Well, all genuine prayers are answered. If the prayer is felt deeply from within one's heart, it will be answered. However, the answering of the prayer may not be in accordance with man's wish. The prayer will be answered in such a way that it will be of spiritual benefit to man, not what it will be of what he wants at the moment, but what will benefit the spirit spiritually, and taking into consideration all aspects of the existence of the human spirit. And that is what will be answered, not your wish of the moment, provided that prayer is a genuine prayer. Genuine prayer is the one that you pray, not the formulated prayer you cram in your head and just say and prattle out. Such prayers do not touch the heart. It can never go far. But that one that flows freely from your heart, that is a genuine prayer. Okay, another question here. Some say hell is not real and that the world will not come to an end. What is the truth about this matter? Hell is real. However, it is not a divine institution. Hell came into being when human beings started to disobey the laws of the Almighty and thereby forming the dark planes of the ethereal world. And as to whether the world will come to an end, yes, eventually, this world is a transient world, and all that is transient, all that is material, is transient. They undergo the law of development. That is, it starts as a seed, it grows, it matures, it reaches harvest time, produces fruits, it becomes overripe, then it disintegrates in order to revert back to the primordial seed so as to start the cycle all over again. That is a law that is already established in the world of matter. And the material world, for that reason, is not transient. But this process of coming into being and disintegrating is an eternal one. That is why it is said, world without end. That is, the world will always come and go, come into being, disintegrate, form again, and disintegrate. Another question here. What is the difference between a prophet and a seer? A prophet is someone who brings a message from the Almighty Creator. That is a prophet. He has a message and is sent to a people. Whereas a seer is somebody who has clairvoyant ability to see the ethereal world. That's a seer. And the last prophet sent by God was Prophet Muhammad, sent to the people of Arabia. Therefore, anyone who calls himself a prophet today is a false prophet. And there are many of them today. All right, Wilson is calling from Abuja. Hello, Wilson. Hello, Wilson.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, you are on.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, go on, please.
Hello?
Go on, we are listening.
Yeah, my name is Wilson. I'm calling from Abuja.
Okay. Go on now.
I want to know, is good message a religion?
The great message does not bring a religion. It simply brings the truth and is addressed to those who are seeking.
Association that is under somebody who is just a good. But I'm interested in all their insights and different relations. I don't know.
It's nothing to do with initiation. It's simply a message of truth. If you are interested, if you have a wish to know about it, get a copy of the great message and examine it and read it.
Okay.
Okay, another question here. Muhammad was sent to the Arabs and Jesus sent to the Jews only. The Arabs believed Muhammad, but the Jews rejected Jesus. Why? Well, the reason why it was because they failed. The Jews were the first fruit unto the Lord, that is, the first race to come to the recognition of the indivisible one God. It was for that reason that Jesus Christ was incarnated amongst them, because they were the ones who had the highest conception about the truth. Unfortunately, they allowed intellect to rule. Therefore, when the Messiah that they have been waiting for centuries was eventually incarnated amongst them, they could not recognize him. They even plotted and murdered him. Although it was not only the Jews that did it, but humanity generally, but specifically the Jews. And so, that is why even Jesus Christ said, "The first shall be the last." The Jews were the first to come to the recognition of the Almighty Creator, but they will also be the last to come to the recognition of the promised Son of Man. Okay. Another question here. The book of Revelation says, "The seas shall release the dead in it." What does this mean? Does it mean that those died in the shipwrecks and so on? No. The meaning here is that in the time of the judgment, which we stand now, all that is dead shall be awakened so that it can pass judgment on itself. We have been coming to this physical world for centuries. Coming and going for thousands of years, coming and going. But the time of judgment has arrived. And all those things that we have done in our previous existence, all the circles, the ones that have not yet closed, they must close now. That is why we see the multiplicity of events, the rate at which the fate of the individual as well as of a nation is fast coming to a close. It is because of the increased pressure or the power of the light that has been anchored on earth, so that all things that have taken place which have not yet closed their circle must now close their circle. Things that will have ordinarily take maybe centuries or even thousands of years to close, now it takes months, because of the increased power that has been sent into this material world for its cleansing and purification. All right, another caller here. Innocent is calling from Abuja. Hello, Innocent. Hello, Innocent.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, you are on. Yeah, go on, please.
And my question is, you made mention of the Prophet Muhammad now.
Yes.
And now I want to ask, is there any other name that transcends apart from the name of Jesus?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Muhammad is a creature, a prophet sent to the people of Arabia. But as you are taking it, you don't even understand what it means. So it's not just to say what can surpass the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, "It is not those who call me Lord, Lord, Lord that will enter the kingdom, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." So first thing first, learn to recognize the will of his Father before you start saying Lord, Lord, Lord. Now we are coming to the end of today's transmission. For those who may still wish to interact with us, okay, let's announce a public lecture coming up in the month of December. Date of lecture is Sunday, 13th of December. 2015, venue, Sun City College, number 1, Sele Bus Stop, Magboro, Lagos. Topic, the grace that comes with Christmas. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, for those who may still wish to interact with us, our website is truthofliferadio.com. Info, email, info@truthofliferadio.com. Telephone numbers 0705-298-0298 or 003-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abraham Sheen, author of The Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I'm Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.